The following is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what sports talk radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this November 3rd, 2025. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. He is Christian Griffin. Gorgeous day here in the Auburn Opelika area. Sun is shining. I haven't seen a cloud in the sky, but sun is bright. It's a gorgeous day in town. And we tell you all the time, it's in our show open, that we tell you like it is and we hold nothing back. And I just have a feeling that today will be one of those days. Christian, happy Monday, sir. Happy first weekday of November. We're in the second to last month of the year. College basketball is back today. A lot of football news to talk about today. Happy Monday, sir.
Are you at a happy Monday spot, or is it more so just, we more so say happy Monday because it's a different conversation on Monday than what it has been five of the last 6 or 7 weeks. And so there's at least there's new words on our computers right here in front of us that we get to dive into. Everybody knows the news. And so we'll say one thing, and we'll say one thing only here in this intro. 334-321-1390. If anybody has any thoughts, any feelings, any predictions, give us a call. Again, let that phone line light up like a Christmas tree like it does most Mondays. 334-321-1390. The text box is open as well at 334-784-1067. We're talking about the news. We're talking about the John Cohen quotes as he just stepped off the podium. DJ Durkin is on the podium right now, and I tell you what, that man is grinning ear to ear. We have some of the quotes that he said as well that we're going to dive into before we just talk about reality and we talk about what is next for this Auburn football program. All of that coming up here in hour number one.
Yep. So yesterday was the day. Yesterday, early afternoon is when everything went down, and the expectation was that it would happen if Auburn fell at home to Kentucky. They did. You lose a game 10-3 at home at night against the worst team in the SEC statistically. And that was it. That was the final straw. That was the final game and scenario and situation to where John Cohen, the athletic director of Auburn University, felt like he had no other option, and he pulled the plug. Auburn fires head coach Hugh Freeze from Auburn football. He is no longer with the program. You can say fired, you can say parted ways, whatever language you want to use. Hugh Freeze is out as the head coach of Auburn football. And my goodness, are there so many emotions and storylines and topics of conversation to branch off of this. Again, you mentioned that DJ Durkin still speaking with the media right now. John Cohen just wrapped up meeting with the media. We're going to get into all of those comments and things. But Christian, your initial reaction yesterday to the news breaking, and now that it's been about 24 hours or so since Auburn and Hugh Freeze have broken up, your thoughts on Hugh Freeze no longer being the head football coach at Auburn?
Yeah, again, we talked a lot about it just with Auburn's season, and we hated to be those guys that came on the air and talked about a win over Arkansas almost being counterproductive or delaying what felt like was the inevitable. And so as bad as it was on Saturday night, and again, credit to everybody that was there. We sat in the press box almost starstruck of how it was a packed out house once again, all the way up even into the fourth quarter, of how many people stayed to watch. Yes, Auburn lose 10-3, but my goodness, when you put it into words that you gave up 10 points and you still lost by a touchdown, I feel like that makes it hurt that much more than saying you lost 10-3. You give up 240 yards of offense and you still lost by a touchdown. I mean, it's crazy to think about those, the statements that we're saying. But for those that stuck it out, for those that were very vocal following the final Hail Mary into the end zone, and let everybody know, let the fan base know, let the coaches know what their thoughts were. The presser right after that game, you felt like everybody knew the reality. It was a very awkward post-game show. And again, you woke up the next morning, didn't hear news quite yet, and everybody began panicking just a little bit. And right around lunchtime, you heard that all of the staff meetings were shut down for the day, and that there was a meeting with the Auburn staff coming up. It was at 1 p.m. or 12:30 p.m., and then shortly after, multiple news sources let the information go.
Yeah, so the news of Hugh Freeze, he's out at Auburn. And look, coming into year three, right, it was the year that he had asked for. It was the year that he wanted. It was the year that a lot of Auburn fans, ourselves included, felt that things could make a turn, right? And you've heard so many people talk about the talent on this team and how that was not going to be the issue. That's the statement I used all summer, was talent will not be an issue at Auburn this year. And you heard John Cohen today continue to say that talent is not the issue, that the few things that were good that Hugh Freeze did in his 2.5 years here, it was rebuilding a roster that was just putrid when he arrived. And he clearly did that based off the guys that are going to be playing in the NFL. It's absolutely true. And you look at the recruiting classes that Hugh Freeze has had. But the fact of the matter is, you weren't winning games. You continued to lose games in the exact same way. And that's why John Cohen, who did release the statement yesterday, I'm sure most people have read it by now, right? Between Cohen and then Freeze releasing his own statement. You feel like John Cohen didn't have a choice. No. He didn't have an option here where, okay, you lose a game to Oklahoma. You felt like the officials robbed you of it. Okay, that's fine. You go on the road and lose to Texas A&M, and that score is not indicative of how that game went. It's like, all right, now we're on alert. Then you let Georgia come in here and you crumble the way that you did. Yes, because of officiating, but you couldn't respond to that again.
Yeah, emotionally and physically.
Then you let Missouri do the exact same thing. And that's where it all started to really turn. That's where this thing escalated pretty quickly. And we talked about it. Going on the road and beating Arkansas, good for you. Whoop-de-doo, right? That's pretty much how most people felt about it. And this was a game and a loss that's truly unacceptable at Auburn.
You felt, again, we talked about it after the Missouri game, credit is not going to be recreated, or it's not going to, you're not going to revamp statements from the previous losses if you go on the road and beat Arkansas and then you come back home and beat Kentucky. You didn't feel like that made up for losses earlier in the season. It felt like it was, again, looking at the schedule preseason, you felt like that was the quote-unquote break. That was the back half of the schedule that we said all preseason long, all you got to do is survive the first little bit. You survive the bye week, and then you move on into what is a much lighter back half of your schedule. It turned into a double-edged sword for Freeze, because it made it to where if you win, you got no credit, and if you lose,
yep,
you deserve all of the blame. And the 10-3 loss at home, again, inside Jordan-Hare Stadium, which we've talked endlessly about what that stadium has turned into, unfortunately. it wreaked its head once again, and the offense does absolutely nothing.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say, is it sucks to have that situation, right, if you're Freeze, where you're walking into that game against Kentucky, and it's like, if I win, nothing happens. I get zero credit for doing so, but if I lose, my job is gone. And he knew that. He knew that going in. Everybody knew that going in. And yet, Auburn still just looks horrific on offense. Terrible on offense. And against a defense of Kentucky that this season in their P4 games have given up 30 points, 35 points, 35 points, 16 points, and 56 points. That's what Kentucky's defense has given up in P4 games this year. Auburn scored 3 because the defense set you up once again.
Yeah, because Elijah Melendez was learning how to run wide receiver routes and ran a 6-yard curl that Cutter Bowley said, oh, look, there's a Navy jersey. He's wide open. Let me throw it to him. And then realized, oh, wait, why is he running back at me? Because Elijah Melendez got the easiest interception of his career, of anybody's career, that set the offense up to where all you had to do was not turn the ball over, and you were gonna put points on the board. The exact same storyline of the entire second half at Arkansas.
Yeah, and so the fact of the matter is, nothing had changed, nothing was going to change, and John Cohen felt that he had no choice but to make the decision. And I think most fans on this Monday are happy the decision was made. I don't think anybody's happy that somebody loses their job, okay? But I do think that most fans, if they were not already in that camp, they most certainly were come Saturday night at about 10 o'clock.
Yeah, again, you never want to say you're happy from the standpoint of a person losing their job. It's more so, and it's a bit ironic to life, where you don't feel comfortable with change. And not that this is going to be comfortable, but most people don't want it. This is one of those few scenarios where you are simply happy just because you don't know what it's going to be or who it's going to be, but there's change that's going to be made, which at least tells you, going back to the comments we've made about insanity, when you're doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result, you now know that part one is changing, like the science experiment, right? You change one sort of or of equation and you hope to get a different end result. You're now changing that first factor.
Yeah. And look, there's a lot to break down here. There's a lot to react to, and again, a lot of branches of this conversation. We want to hear from you. Phone lines are open on this Monday. I know DJ Durkin just wrapped up his press conference, his opening interim head coach press conference. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about some of the fiery comments from John Cohen as well. But we want to hear from you, your thoughts on Auburn firing head coach Hugh Freeze, and he is no longer the head coach of Auburn football. Tigers will now hire their 4th head coach in 7 years, now paying over $50 million to fired head coaches between Gus Malzahn, Brian Harsin, and head coach Hugh Freeze. 334-321-1390 is the number to get you through to us. Again, 334-321-1390. The text box is open as well at 334-784-1067. The announcement was made yesterday. Hugh Freeze released a statement basically saying thanks to Auburn, right? Thank you to Auburn. Thank you to the fans, and asking for everyone to support the team and the coaches and things like that. And you feel like the general consensus here is it had to be done. This needed to be done. You can debate on whether it should have happened already or not, right? Sure. If it should have happened weeks ago or this week or whatever. But most people seem to have positive things to say about the man of Hugh Freeze, about the Freeze family, right? About those people who came to Auburn, right? This seems very much like the Gus Malzahn firing, where you hate to see it happen. You wished it would have worked out, but it was the right decision to make the call.
And again, yeah, that goes right back to the conversation we just had about you're not necessarily happy about somebody losing his job, right? At least not from the standpoint of off the football field. I think on the football field, there's a little bit of relief, again, that a change is being made. But it goes back to the same things of, from a person standpoint off the field, it doesn't bring any ill will or anything like that along with the firing or the step away, whatever the case you may choose to use.
But at the end of the day, it needed to happen.
Again, at the end of the day, you're not cheering for what happened off the field, but you're relieved of the change that was made on the field with the headset.
We're talking about it here today on this Monday afternoon. Hugh Freeze has been fired as the head coach of Auburn football. We're talking about it, taking your phone calls as well, and we get to the phone lines right after this. 334-321-1390. Come on in. We want to hear from you on the Monday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
All right, we're back here on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Not quite a breaking news Monday, but pretty darn close, as Auburn announced yesterday and has confirmed, of course, since then, that head coach Hugh Freeze is no longer the head coach of Auburn football, and we want to hear from you. 334-321-1390. Phone lines are wide open on the show today. Give us a call. Give us your thoughts. We want to hear from you. And we get to the phone lines now for the first time today. Spectre, you're on the line, my man. How are you on this Monday?
I'm a happy Monday on you guys. Listen, Jacob, you can say the word close now.
we're allowed to put that back in our vocabulary, huh?
That's correct. That phrase is you can put back in.
We're I heard so that. Close. Heard that.
We're so close. Hey, listen, I don't oppose Durkin as the interim, but I don't want to lose him to concentrate on the defense. Mm-hmm. If some way we can keep him as a defensive coordinator and get Summerall in here, man, we'd be up tight and jelly tight.
I heard that. Hey, yeah.
Hold on, man. My train's leaving the station. Okay. Cohen was saying, the question is not the talent. Well, I'll have to differ with him. It might not be the talent when it comes to receivers and defensive players and so on, but the offensive line, there's no talent there. There's none whatsoever. And Durkin, he's known for playing a lot of freshmen.
Mm-hmm.
By George, get those freshmen offensive line out there. You know, use these last three games to give them game experience for next season.
Yeah.
And, we're going to lose two out of the next three. Ain't no doubt about it. I mean, he's going to change out. He said there were some changes, but I don't know what they are. I had to guess it might be the offensive line coach and the offensive coordinator, Nix. Hell, if he lets them go, who's going to call the game?
Well, Spectre, DJ just got done with his press conference about 5 or 10 minutes ago, and he confirmed that Derek Nix is going to be calling plays. So that change has not been made yet in terms of if Derek Nix stays or goes, but at least down the stretch, Derek Nix is going to have full play calling duties. And it's fascinating because he said on every play, every down, every situation, he said Derek Nix is going to be calling plays. And I think that'll be the first time all year, Spectre. So we'll see if anything changes on that front.
Yeah, I haven't heard that. That's good. But our offensive line coach, he should be the first to go.
I have a feeling that could be the case.
There were no open conversations, but Cohen as well as Durkin both messaged and kind of hinted at changes have been made and more changes will continue to be made, but they obviously didn't go into any specifics during that opening statement.
On that offensive coordinator, I think they got the wrong Nix in there. I think Patrick Nix should have been in there. It was Coleman's quarterback coach at high school.
Mm-hmm.
So, they can't say, well, we can't put Patrick Nix in there because he ain't got any experience. Well, how did that full-time college experience do for us? and head coaches, you know?
Sure.
I mean, try it. Hey, you got nothing to lose.
Yeah.
All right, guys. See you.
Appreciate the call, Spectre. 334-321-1390. Phone lines are open. Come on in. We want to hear from you. As Auburn has made the decision to move on from head coach Hugh Freeze, DJ Durkin is the interim head coach. We want to hear your thoughts on that, what he had to say, what John Cohen had to say. We'll dive more into that coming up in just a little bit. But, yeah, the landscape now or the outlook now on what Auburn is going to be doing offensively, it absolutely starts up front. It absolutely does, because you look at what happened on Saturday against Kentucky. That team had 7 sacks on Saturday. 7. For a team that statistically was one of the worst in the league at getting to the quarterback. And you gave up 7 sacks to that Kentucky team.
And that was a big point that Freeze hit on in the post-game press conference. Was he was very frustrated in the first half because he felt like there were multiple times when a 50-50 ball should have been thrown, whether that's over the middle of the field. Well, I guess I shouldn't say that. We haven't used that all year, but a 50-50 ball down the sideline that should have been thrown. And then they said the few times in the second half where they tried to create an explosive play through the air, neither quarterback had any time, because it felt like every single time they did drop back, there was a white jersey already in the backfield essentially trying to take the handoff.
Yeah. Yeah. And, I mean, I've truly, throughout the course of a season, I've truly never seen this bad of offensive display consistently with the same issues and still running the same system and same plays and same motto and hoping that it works out. And how many times did we hear from Hugh Freeze that they believed in their system? I know he kept saying they were close. I get that. But how many times did he talk about they believed in their system and they were, by God, they were going to run it? And he said that from the opening jump, and he said that all the way through Saturday night when he got canned on Sunday morning, that, God forbid, I mean, we believe in it and we're going to run it. Whether you can stop it or not, whether it works or not, I don't care. We're going to run it. And that got him fired.
It did. It
got him fired.
It got him fired, and now you get the chance to see the same relative style of offense with, again, Derek Nix being confirmed to, as DJ Durkin said, will be the sole play caller on first down, second down, third down, fourth down, fifth down. Derek Nix will be calling plays. And so how wild is it that you could see the exact same offense? It's how DJ Durkin led off his speech and his press conference today of just there's – guys that can run the same thing, but you look at the individual and how they do it, the effort that they put into a simple route or a simple concept. And although they run the exact same thing and they might look the exact same name or the exact same way, but when you're doing one thing just a little bit different, that gives you the edge. I want to go back to the offensive line really quick. I'm going to read you the top 10 in a category of sacks per game, and I want you to tell me what the overall comparison is with where the comparison with these 10 teams are. All right, so Cincinnati is first, Maryland is second, Ohio State is third at 0.4 sacks allowed per game, Miami in there at sixth, Ole Miss is ninth with 0.8, Kansas State is 10th with 0.9, Indiana, Georgia Tech, Tulane, and Texas A&M are all in there in the top 10 in sacks allowed per game at less than 1. All those teams are pretty dang good in the offensive category. You have to scroll all the way down. Auburn is dead last in sacks given up per game by an offensive line. Auburn averages 4.2 sacks given up per contest. That's in there with Missouri State, Utah State, Ball State, and Rutgers.
And just doing quick math, if you're giving up 4 sacks a game, let's just say on average, of course, that's 1 sack per quarter. I would also say on average, offensively, you get, what, 2 possessions per quarter? So you're giving up a sack every other drive. Rough estimations, yes.
For an offense that doesn't know how to work behind the chains.
Right. And I mean, sacks statistically and historically kill drives anyway. Right? It's like a holding penalty. Yeah. A holding penalty or a sack or a fumble, right? Those things kill drives. Most offenses consistently don't overcome those things. And so the idea that Auburn offensively is giving up a sack on average every other drive, give or take, no wonder you can't score.
Last year in the NFL, obviously a little bit different than in college football, 83% of drives that had a sack stalled.
So take that loosely and apply it to what Auburn's been doing offensively, and it's no wonder that Auburn can't move the ball and can't score unless their defense goes above and beyond to help them. Auburn, in their P4 games this season since the Baylor game, you've scored 17, 10, 10, 17, 33, and 3. And 33 against Arkansas doesn't really count because 6 field goals in there,
yeah,
plus a defensive score in there, right?
We did the math on it, and it was by the team that was on the field when a point was added to the scoreboard. Auburn had 8. A touchdown and a 2-point conversion. Auburn has 1 offensive touchdown drive in the last 2 games in conference play against the 15th and the 16th ranked defenses in the Southeastern Conference.
It's bad, man. It's really, really bad. And it's so bad that the head coach has lost his job. Hugh Freeze is out at Auburn. We want to hear from you, your thoughts on John Cohen and Auburn making the decision to move on from Hugh Freeze. Great comments today from Cohen and DJ Dirk in the interim, who just wrapped up their press conferences. We'll talk about what they had to say and just continue to break down the timeline and how we got here, as Auburn is now in a coaching search once again. We continue talking about it here on ESPN 106.7. Stick around.
You're 30 minutes into On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Now back to the studio with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
30 minutes into hour number one here on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. He's Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. We appreciate you being with us on a sunny day in Auburn, Opelika, and talking, of course, the biggest news across Auburn, across the SEC, and man, one of the biggest storylines in college football as Auburn has moved on from Hugh Freeze. He is no longer the head coach of the Auburn Football Tigers. We want to hear from you and your thoughts on the firing of Freeze, who should be next, and the fact that DJ Durkin is the interim head coach from here on out for the next 3 games for Auburn in 2025. Give us a call right now, 334-321-1390. That number again, 334-321-1390, or you could shoot us a text in the On the Line text box at 334-784-1067. And
a perfect segue to talk about Ha-Seong Kim declining his player contract for the Braves. So now Bo Bichette, welcome to Atlanta. We haven't talked about the World Series, but
yeah,
perfect segue to Game 7, and that was all we had to say.
Yeah, Bregman opted out of his as well for the Red Sox. I think they're going to try and re-sign him, but
Braves, go get Bo Bichette. Somebody go back to the show where we were on here with Lindsay, and I mentioned that. That was like before the Braves season even started.
That's cute that you think the Braves are going to do what they're supposed to do. That's funny. I figured you would have learned by now.
No, I'm an Auburn fan, too.
Yeah,
I don't
25
learn.
Years into this fandom, bro. You haven't figured out the Braves yet? Come on, man.
No. Braves or Auburn, honestly. I mean,
yeah, that's true. World Series was fantastic, by the way. Where do you put that in all-time World Series games? Not just Game 7. I mean, that's probably top 10 easily.
Yeah, that was...
That was pretty awesome. It doesn't get better than that.
No, and for myself, I know that you can attest to this. I'm just somebody that wants to see baseball be played the right way. And so when you saw, man, just great defense, you saw a couple sacrifice bunts, and you just, for me personally, seeing baseball the way that it should be played, as bitter as it was seeing the Dodgers win back-to-back, if you took the nameplates off the jerseys and you took the logos off the front of the jerseys. You just go and simply watch the game and how incredible it was. Yamamoto going back out after throwing 96 pitches again in game six and getting the win. I mean, it was absolutely insane. The Dodgers went from Kershaw to a reliever, then to Blake Snell in the ninth. You then go to Yamamoto in extras, and you had Kershaw and Sasaki in the bullpen. I mean, that's insane when you're talking about like not being able to get a break, but the Blue Jays will forever be haunted by Kiner Falefa sliding into home.
Yeah.
Force outs at the plate. Don't slow your momentum. Run straight through the bag.
Toe comes off the plate and then back on it.
And then back onto it. Yeah.
Which, I mean, that was the right call.
It was.
It was the right call.
And then Rojas, after not having a hit in a month, goes deep. Mm. I mean, it's...
My boy Mookie was able to turn the double play to end it, too. I love that guy. Love him so much. And the fact that he's got now two rings in L.A. is very unfortunate. But, yes.
He's now the active leader playing in the major leagues with four rings. So, if that makes you feel better.
Yeah. My glorious king. We love him. We love him very much. Hate the Dodgers, but... Yeah, that was tough. But an all-time series, an all-time game in Game 7 Saturday night.
And everybody... text us if we're wrong. Everybody thought that Vladdy was going deep in the home half of the ninth, right?
Yeah.
After the solo homer in the top of the ninth to tie it, Vladdy leads off just off the end of the bat.
Yeah.
Deepest part of the field, dead center, but oh my gosh, you want to talk about a storybook ending, that would have been it right there.
Giolito just declined his option for the Red Sox too, so that's cool.
Oh, awesome.
Great. Great. Everything's fine. Everything is fine. No, World Series was fantastic.
How's Tucker Kraft doing? No, I'm just kidding. Too soon.
Geez.
Too soon.
Oh,
too soon.
God, man. What the? Come on, dude. That's horrible. That wasn't even a shot at me. That was a shot at the best tight end in the game right now. That's fine, though.
It's okay. Golden's going to be out.
Packers lost to the Panthers yesterday. Our two losses this year are the Browns and the Panthers, and a tie with the Cowboys.
I mean, that's borderline.
Put me out.
Reverse
bro.
Super Bowl between the Panthers and the Browns.
Put me out. Like, that is horrifically bad.
You got relief Sunday morning, only to watch that right after.
God, terrible, man. Unbelievable. Yeah, Packers are all banged up. Red Sox are losing everybody. But World Series was awesome. College basketball starts today, too. We may or may not get to that at some point. Auburn's season opener is tonight. Jacob Hillman will be with us an hour or two. We'll talk some Auburn basketball with him. But
yeah, unfortunate that gets overshadowed because for those that were in the stadium, arguably the most secondhand embarrassment, but also the funniest thing ever was right after the Kentucky's PAT after the touchdown. There's a little highlight clip and Rick Smith went on the PA and said, "Attention Tiger fans, basketball is back in Neville Arena," and Jordan-Hare Stadium erupted.
That was, I mean, foreshadowing at its finest, right? I mean, you had a lot of that on Saturday. Again, Auburn falling to Kentucky 10-3. About 12 hours later, the decision was made where Hugh Freeze is no longer the head coach of Auburn football. Phone lines are open if you want to be a part of this conversation, 334-321-1390. And now with Freeze gone, right? And you feel like today isn't one of those, like, holy smokes, breaking news, they did it, they fired Hugh. You feel like we've been coming down this path for a month now. And
even so much so that today's not even the raw emotion of how frustrating the loss to Kentucky was. I mean, we were fully ready to come on here, guns a-blazing, ready to lose our minds. But then the other news, again, of Coach Freeze firing or being fired kind of brought back the last 5 or 6 weeks of frustration and emotion and kind of just like I think you're alluding to of it wasn't a shocking feeling.
Yeah. It would have been more surprising, and to be honest, we were having discussions about this. It would have been more surprising if we were having to sit here today and he was still the head coach.
Oh yeah.
Like that genuinely would have been more surprising and shocking to me if the decision had not have been made. But something that you and I had also talked about was the idea that this decision was probably already decided, but a loss at home to Kentucky just accelerated that.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, even this may be a little extreme, but it's like, man, even if Auburn was like 5-2 or something, like, man, losing at home to Kentucky at night is just not cool. Like that there has to be a standard set at some point for Auburn, and that's as bad as it gets. That's as bad as it gets. A winless Kentucky team in the SEC walks into your house after you win a game
and has one drive.
One. That's it. And they walk away with a win. You let Coach Stoops beat you.
I think in the press box, I was the first person, and we play this game every once in a while, the first person to say this ever in the world. I think I was one of the first, if not the first, to ever say in the history of the world that Hugh Freeze saves the job of Mark Stoops. And that hurts to
But if you're a Kentucky person, like if you're
the
AD.
Oh, no, we talked with so many after the game, and they were as frustrated as we were.
Oh, yeah, and it's like this. You don't feel good about this. You just beat a team that got their coach fired. Like, that's not something to go back to Lexington and celebrate. Good for them. I'm not taking the win away from
them. Not the win itself, but just everything wrapped around it.
Yeah, it's the same conversations we're having that we were having a week ago. Like, congratulations, you went on the road to beat Arkansas. Woohoo. Kentucky's literally saying the same thing. Congratulations, you went on the road to beat Auburn. Who cares?
Yeah, and we talked about it of, man, you went on the road and beat a winless – or you go on the – you come home, sorry, rather – and you lose to a winless Kentucky team. How weird is it that now Kentucky fans can say we went on the road and beat the worst team in the SEC? We beat the worst team when it comes to offensive efficiency in the Southeastern Conference. We've sat there many times and said, man, look at the bottom half. In the preseason, Auburn was projected to finish like 11th, and we said, look at the jump. Right there, because you have the bottom four teams, and then there's the big jump. And if Auburn falls below that, that's when there's going to be big-time issues. None of this conversation is about the defense, by the way, as everybody knows. But, man, when you're last in points per game, yards per game, passing yards per game, yards per play, yards per attempt, all of those last in the Southeastern Conference, you're at the point where you're not even celebrating a win over Auburn. Or a win inside Jordan Hare.
No, not at all. Not at all. I mean, here's the reality of it. There's one team in the SEC that is yet to get a win in conference play, and that's Arkansas.
And they're more exciting to watch.
There are four teams, who have a singular win in the SEC. It's Mississippi State, Kentucky, Auburn, and South Carolina. Auburn's lone win is against Arkansas, who, in terms of the record, is the worst team in the SEC. Mississippi State's win is against Arkansas, who, again, is the statistically, standings-wise, the worst team in the SEC. South Carolina's lone win, you want to know who that is? Kentucky. 35-13. That's it. That's the bottom of the SEC. 1-5 Kentucky, 1-5 Auburn, 1-6 South Carolina, and 0-5 Arkansas.
And if your defense didn't go above and beyond what they usually do in Fayetteville, you're bottom of the barrel.
Yeah, you'd be winless too. You'd be 0-6.
But instead, you're 1-5 for the second straight year, which makes everything better.
1-5 in conference play, 4-5 overall on the season. And we know the numbers, right, about Hugh Freeze and his time here at Auburn. I mean, the numbers are not good. They're not, I mean.
You're 2-9 at home against SEC teams. That speaks for itself. Auburn's always struggled on the road, and that's kind of always been the thing that plagued them. It's, all right, we're on the road and it's whatever, but we're back at home. We feel great. We feel really, really good about it. Man, you're 2-9. In the last 3 years at home in the SEC. With one of those wins in four overtimes to Texas A&M.
Hugh Freeze, in his time at Auburn against P4 teams, 8-17. In 2.5 years, you got 8 wins against P4 teams. And now you start losing games to Kentucky and flirting with games in Arkansas and nothing changing. That's what made John Cohen do it. That's what made the decision happen on Sunday afternoon.
I think another thing before we get to break, we talked a little bit about it, and now thinking back to the press conference Saturday night, although I don't think there was a decision that needed to be made, our buddy Jack Hutton, we talked about this as well, just about when you're using the word close that Spector called in and said we can now use that vocabulary word again. You use the word we're so close against Oklahoma and Texas A&M. You said we're so close against Georgia and Missouri. You then lose to Kentucky and you feel the need to say you're close again. Where is the standard, like what you're talking about? The standard of, okay, we're close to beating the number 3 team in the country or the number 5 team in the country.
Which there was an argument for when you lost to Oklahoma and Texas A&M.
Correct.
And Georgia.
Which made it more frustrating because it did feel like, despite everything, despite the buzzword that got used every single Saturday and every single Monday, you still believed it to an extent. But then when you go in and your offense puts up 3 points and you still say that I believe we're so close, that is where the shoe was flushed, just pushed out the door. Which goes back to what we were talking about with some quotes from Cohen that we're going to get to in just a minute. Arguably the second most important quote that I think he said. He said, close doesn't matter anymore. Getting it done is the only thing that matters now.
Yeah, we'll talk more about that and what Cohen had to say, what Durkin had to say, and what happens now as Auburn moves on from Hugh Freeze and another coaching search is upon us. But DJ Durkin is the interim. We'll talk about his quotes, talk about John Cohen's quotes, and a whole lot more as we wrap up hour number one after this.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin, online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Wrapping up hour number one here on ESPN 106.7. Appreciate you being along for the ride. And, hey, coming up in hour number two, we're going to keep talking more about the news of Auburn football firing head coach Hugh Freeze, how we got here and what is to come, and probably talk more about what the staff could or could not look like and what the rest of the season holds down the stretch. But a couple of minutes here to end hour number one. Again, phone lines are open until about 3:30 today, 334-321-1390. Some interesting quotes. First from John Cohen, and we'll talk about DJ Durkin in hour number two. You mentioned the one going to break, where some people on the internet are saying that John Cohen basically just turned around and punched Hugh Freeze in the gut, just turned around and popped him in the nose, because he's basically addressed it and said, I understand there have been comments alluding to us being close, but close doesn't matter anymore. Getting it done is what matters. And good for John Cohen. Good for addressing it. Because all the coach was doing was saying the same things, then acknowledging he was saying it, acknowledging that it was clearly making people mad, to say it cleanly, but would still go back to it. It was like, he just got stuck and couldn't find his way out and kept saying the same thing over and over and over again.
Yeah. And then the last thing that kind of put everybody over the edge was in that press conference on Saturday, somebody asked the question, what do you tell everybody, or what's your message to everybody that seemingly is very frustrated both inside and outside of Jordan-Hare Stadium? And he said, I wish I could ask for patience. And that was kind of the one quote that put everybody over the edge.
Yeah, and so John Cohen again saying, close doesn't matter anymore. Getting it done matters. Really liked that quote from him. Also, he was asked about how the hiring process will go, right? About what Auburn is going to be doing in terms of finding their new head coach, and if they're going to use a committee, if it's going to be him, if they're going to go outside. And he said a lot of things, and he said they are going to use a lot of numbers and statistics and things, but at the end of the day, quote, I am the committee.
Yeah, said that they could They might use a little bit of a firm to look into background, but all of that would be on the back end of things. He's going to take a lot of advice and suggestions from people that he said know a lot about college football and how the college football world works. But at the end of the day, yeah, my job is essentially on the line with whoever is next.
334-321-1390. Let's get to the phone lines. You're on the line. Who are we speaking with?
Lonnie from Lochapoca.
What's up, Lonnie? I got about 60 seconds for you, my man.
Happy days are here again. We got rid of Hugh the Hack. I mean, you know what else is important? I just listened to what you said, Christian. But what else is important is showing up to offensive staff meetings, which this guy was not doing. He wasn't doing it last year either. So what I want to know is, did he get the full buyout? Because I saw something yesterday reported by somebody else that there was a negotiated buyout. Do we know?
Latest that I've seen is that Auburn, and I think Cohen addressed this, that they are working on a buyout, but I don't think he's going to get the full buyout, no.
Well, good, because I was going to say, if he negotiates a buyout, I'm completely fine with him hanging around the lake and hanging out with his buddies and playing golf in Auburn and all that. But if he was going to hold Auburn's feet to the fire for that full amount, that would be basically theft as far as I'm concerned, and he should be ostracized from the community. So that's all I have to say about that. War Eagle.
Appreciate it, Lonnie. Yeah, I've seen something. Our buddy Daryl Dapperidge put something out on social media saying that he thinks the reports were false from some national talking heads that Auburn was going to pay the full buyout. He said that him and Zach had been talking about that. And he says Cohen confirmed it. They are currently negotiating down the terms of the buyout. And there were reports that they tried to get this done before the game Saturday, and there were maybe some arguments and discussions about a buyout previous to this, but sounds like that Auburn is not going to pay Hugh Freeze in full is what it seems to be right now. That could change.
It very much could. I mean, we still know all of the drama going on with LSU and Brian Kelly of how it was basically, we're paying you to not give you access to the gate.
And if you're a coach, I mean, if you just want to play the other side of it, because someone just texted in and said Hugh is getting every penny of the buyout, zero doubt about it. If you are the head coach or you're his agent, like, why would you not, right? Unless the only reason you take less money is as a courtesy. That's it, as a courtesy. But at that point, your boss just fired you. What's stopping you from saying, no, you can pay me?
Especially if the contract before was written out to, if something happens, this will be what you get. And all of a sudden, they try and say no. You just have to hold up that piece of paper that says, no, you agreed to do this.
Yeah. What tells me it may not get that nasty is how John Cohen spoke about Hugh Freeze as a person today. Yeah. Because this was not a nasty firing. This was not a bad breakup. This is one that you dated for a while. You wanted it to work out, but you guys were just going in different directions. And it hurts, but you'll be all right. And it's time to move on. And that's what Auburn is going to do. We'll talk more about Auburn looking for a new head coach and what DJ Durkin said today as the interim. That's coming up next in hour number two.
The following is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what sports talk radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. It is the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. He is Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us as we get underway here in hour number two. And we talked a lot about in hour number one, of course, the big news on the plains is Auburn football has parted ways with head coach Hugh Freeze. He is no longer the head coach of Auburn football, and the Tigers will be looking for their fourth coach in the last 7 years, and that begins now. So we talked a bunch about that in hour number one. Kind of how we got here, of course, some of the final numbers from the Auburn-Kentucky game on Saturday as well. And so a lot of that in the first hour. So if you missed it, you could check it out on our station website at ESPNAU.com.
And here in hour number two, going to talk a little bit more about DJ Durkin. We talked about John Cohen and the quotes that he had in the press conference. And then after about 15, 20 minutes of him speaking, DJ Durkin took the podium. And so we got to talk a lot. I got to hear a lot of his thoughts, a lot of his quotes, and we were able to take some notes and really want to dive into some of the big-time conversations that he now has in front of him, whether that's challenges, whether that's expectations, or whether that's just simply what he wants to see from the offense and the defense. Again, he confirmed that Derek Nix will be calling plays on first, second, and third down, or fourth down, or fifth down, or whatever the case may be. He will be the sole play caller. They then asked, okay, I know you mentioned not wearing two hats. What is that going to look like for you? And DJ Durkin said, I will still be handling all of the defensive coordinator duties, not necessarily passing off any of the duties, so that way I can be that overseer. And so you still expect the Auburn defense and DJ Durkin to look the exact same way. Now it's just more about the questions on what the offense is going to do. Said that there's many different avenues that he can go. There's multiple different options that you could use, some that haven't seen the field too many times. Said a quarterback decision has not been named yet, but he mentioned all three of them and said that we have three wonderful guys that we think that could take snaps against Vanderbilt in Nashville this weekend. We're going to save a lot of our hardcore coaching conversations and the top candidates for the Auburn job for probably tomorrow's show. Again, want to spend a lot of hour number two diving into the quotes, maybe a little bit of Auburn basketball news in there as well as the men and the women's get underway tonight. Auburn men's basketball inside Neville Arena to kick off the season before we get with Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network at 3:30. And so again, until 3:30, the phone lines are open. If you would like to be a part of our conversation, if you have any thoughts, any feelings, feel free to give us a call at 334-321-1390. Any questions, any quick hitters, the text box is always open at 334-784-1067. And that's where we begin here in hour number two, is part two of the press conference, essentially. Again, we talked a lot about the John Cohen quotes of, I am the committee, close doesn't matter anymore, getting it done is what matters, and then also a couple of the quotes about staff adjustments that have been made and more will be coming in the meantime. But, man, as soon as you saw DJ Durkin take the podium, he was nervous, but he was smiling ear to ear.
Yeah, and I don't think that was because of, you know,
I think it was more just nervous excitement.
Yeah, I think so. Again, I don't think there was any ill will there, and he spoke highly of Hugh Freeze and what he learned from him and the opportunity that clearly Freeze brought him in. And I mean, the guy's making $2.5 million as a defensive coordinator, and Hugh Freeze is a big reason for that, right? And so it's got to be bittersweet for him.
It's one of those things where it's like, you're happy to have the job, but you don't want it that way.
Yeah, you don't. And, I mean, you got to think, it's been several years since he's been a head coach. And we know, just addressing the elephant in the room here, I mean, that didn't end well.
Yeah.
Right? The one and only true time he was a head coach. And I remember the drama and the uproar that people had when Auburn hired DJ Durkin as the defensive coordinator. There were a lot of people that were not pleased with that. They were not happy about that because of the past things that went down. Same thing with Hugh Freeze and some others as well. But DJ Durkin, man, if you're him, you've got to look at this as just a prime opportunity here. And John Cohen was asked if DJ Durkin is going to be a part of the search, and he said, absolutely. He said, yeah, he will be a part of our pool. He will be in that conversation. And fans have already started talking about that, right? Well, what if DJ Durkin wins out? What if the offense turns around? What if this team just finds ways to win and...
or just responds differently. Just from the standpoint of, I guess, kind of what you're talking about, where, again, you see the team go out and execute in a different way, right? I mean, you see players respond in so many different ways to so many different coaches. What if everything turns into a positive light because of who is now the main guy leading the charge?
And John Cohen was asked about how the players responded when he addressed the entire team and told them that Freeze had been removed, right? And I'll be honest, he gave kind of a weird answer. He was like, yeah, I can't speak to that. The players would be better to answer that, right, and let them talk about that. Well, they asked DJ Durkin the same question. That's when he really started smiling, because we know how the defensive players feel about DJ Durkin.
And if you can see it on social media,
they love that guy.
They, oh my gosh. The picture that's going around, everybody's talking about the album covers or the AI pictures of DJ Durkin. Now, all of the defensive players, you're now even hearing or seeing defensive recruits post that picture just because of how excited they are that DJ Durkin now gets that chance to be the head coach, to be the main guy. And so you by no means expect the defense to respond in any negative way. And you almost hope that Durkin was able to sit there and walk into one of the defensive meetings and just be able to celebrate with his guys.
I hope so. I hope they showered him with a bunch of love and support. I'm sure they did. And look, DJ even admitted, he said, it's been a whirlwind of 24 hours. And they are evaluating everything, reevaluating everything. And those will be conversations we have throughout the week, right, about the quarterbacks, which he was asked about today, and the offensive game plan. We do know that Derek Nix is going to be calling plays moving forward on every play, every down, every situation. Which we knew that wasn't happening, but just further confirms that the offense was just not good, right? And so there is somebody new running it, and so we'll see what that looks like with DJ Durkin. So let's get to the phone lines again here on the show. 334-321-1390. Shane, you're on the line. What's going on?
Hey guys, how are you all?
Doing good. Doing well. What's on your mind?
Hey, I got two comments real quick. One, I don't know if you guys feel the same way, but to me, Durkin kind of feels like Brent Venables kind of vibe. You know, he was elite, a defensive coordinator, and he was kind of waiting his turn to be a head coach at some point. So if that's the case, then you know, can't really go too wrong with it. Number two is, How many of our past coaches have been offensive mind coaches?
Several.
The last
a lot,
four.
Right? Yeah. So why don't we go a different route? Go with this elite defensive coordinator, and I mean, look what he's done. We're going to lose him if we don't. I mean, like, someone else is going to hire him as a coach, whether it's one of the other teams that are out there, LSU and all these, you know, these guys that are out there that are looking, or a mid major, you know, this kind of up and comer kind of thing. I say keep him and let him hire, you know, an offensive coordinator, and see how we can, let's switch it up, because what we've been doing hasn't been working. So might as well, you know, stir it up a little bit and keep that elite defense. And even if we don't get an elite offense, maybe get a good one. Maybe get a good offense, you know, offensive mind in there that's maybe younger. You know, these older dudes that seem like they're set in their ways. And it doesn't matter if my 6-year-old daughter can see the next play coming. They're not going to change anything.
Sure.
You know, so that's my two cents. Let's keep that dude who's proven that he's done it on the field here, and bring in somebody else that they could turn around the offense a little bit. I think the team is going to rally around him. I think he's going to do it. We're going to see some effort at least these last three games. And I'll hang up with you guys. Thank you, Warrior.
Appreciate the call, Shane. 334-321-1390. I think the entire Auburn fan base right now can agree on two things. One, I think everybody was finally in the boat of it was time to move on from Hugh Freeze. And I think the second thing is – in whatever capacity, in whatever shape or form, and whatever you got to do, save DJ Durkin. Do not let that man walk off this campus, walk out of this town, and take another job. You cannot let that happen. Whether it's head coach, DC, GM, make him the president of the university. I don't care. You cannot let DJ Durkin walk away.
No, and Cohen also kind of alluded to that a little bit, talking about how the main reason that changes were made were just because of the offense and the inefficiency to basically complement the incredible defense that Durkin has provided. Cohen even said, man, I don't even want to know what our record would look like if we had an average offense. That was what was said, which speaks volumes to the confidence that he has in DJ Durkin. And we talked about it on the show, Shane, if you're still listening, a couple weeks ago about, man, how many of these head coaches that are the premier head coaches that are defensive mind guys? I mean, when you mention guys like Kirby Smart, like Dan Lanning, like Marcus Freeman, all of those guys are defensive mindset guys that started on that side of the football. We've also had conversations of, well, would DJ Durkin even want anything like this? I think being named the interim head coach shows that that drive is still there.
Probably, yeah.
But also, again, you have to find a way to keep him somewhere on your football team. We talked a lot about it last week as well, that Auburn was one of four. Auburn is now one of three teams in college football of the 136 FBS teams. 136. Auburn is now one of three teams in college football to not give up more than 24 points in a single game. And those three teams are Ohio State, who was the number one team in the country, Indiana, who was the number two team in the country, and 4-5 Auburn. That's an elite category. Many people have used the words when you're referring to DJ Durkin or just the Auburn defense as one of the best in the SEC. Man, they're one of the best in the country. They're a top three defense in America. And I understand that when you look at passing yards or whatever the case may be, yes, you give them up. But, man, 24 points in a game in college football, 3.5 drives is nothing in today's day and age of college football. How many teams would pray to get 3.5 stops on the defensive side of a football in one game? There's been so many talks or so much talk around DJ Durkin, and I saw one of them, and apologies for not being able to remember exactly who it was, but talked about, man, one coach is going to inherit back-to-back top 10 recruiting classes, the best defense in the SEC, and I'll add to it a top 5 defense again in the country, and all you have to do is find a way to put together three scoring drives, and you go 9-3.
Yeah.
Minimum. You're 9-3. You got to find a way to keep DJ Durkin on your staff, and I think that that crowd is continuing to grow of if DJ Durkin shows what he could show in these final three games with him now making all of the decisions, Cohen sitting Durkin down and trusting him, saying, this is your program, do what you need to do these last 3 weeks. I don't think there's a plan to let him go anytime soon.
Yeah, and again, as we get deeper into the week and deeper into this coaching search that is underway right for Auburn, we will talk more about DJ Durkin as a possibility, right, of being the head coach. And again, I understand that there are people who love him, people who don't love him, and for whatever those reasons may be. But just from a football perspective, man, it's impossible not to see what DJ Durkin brings to this football team. And I'll be honest, I am fascinated to see the difference in this team with him at the helm, because some of the quotes from him today have been awesome. He said, we're going to be relentless in everything we do, aggressive in what we do. We're taking shots.
He says, we want to be the aggressor
in everything we do, which tells you that hasn't been happening.
No.
It tells you that he clearly doesn't agree with how things are going. And the fact that the drastic difference in the offensive production and effort and whatever else, right? The difference in that side of the football versus the defensive side of the football. Then throw special teams in there too. there's obviously a difference. And now that the guy running the defense is now running the team as a whole, you expect something to change, something to be better. And whether that's personnel or coaches or roles or whatever the case may be, we're going to find out. But DJ Durkin said today that Derek Nix will be the play caller. They are making changes on the staff, and they're not done. And I fully expect that to be the case, and I fully expect there to be personnel changes on the field come Saturday afternoon.
I definitely think that's the case. Again, he talked about all three quarterbacks being mentioned and saying that there could be a lot of personnel changes that you haven't seen yet this year. Not saying that this is going to happen, but Deuce has only played in one game. And you got three games left. You can play four games and still redshirt. So you want to talk about a power move that DJ Durkin could throw onto the field? That could possibly be one of them. But as we go to break here in hour number two, man, how many times have we not called out the defense, but basically put our hand on their shoulder metaphorically and said, we're not putting this on you if this is the game that you decide to break? And it hasn't happened. You now have that guy who's led that room as your head coach for the three games.
Does that give you more confidence going into Vanderbilt or any possibility of that side of the football losing some of its edge and some of its focus because he is the head coach now?
It would have. If it would have been, because Durkin was asked about this, I would have said yes if Durkin would say, yeah, because of that, I'm putting on the head coaching hat a little bit. And I'm gonna assign different little duties to some of my guys on the defensive side of the football. Instead, he said, man, I'm not going to walk in here and act like I know how to run an offense. I'm still going to let those guys do what they need to do. I'll work with them on figuring things out. I'm going to sit down and basically talk to them about how I would guard them, how I would game plan against
them. He's not an offensive idiot. I mean, he was a head coach.
Right. But he's going to bring his defensive mind more into the offensive game plan. But he said, I will still be the defensive coordinator.
Yeah, he almost chuckled when he said, he's like, oh.
He said, I'm not changing everything. That is still my role. And so he said, don't expect much to change on that side.
Guess we'll see. Auburn goes to Vanderbilt this Saturday, taking on a top 20 Commodores team. More on that as the week goes on, but we want to continue to hear from you. As Auburn and Hugh Freeze have parted ways, he will no longer be the head coach of the Football Tigers, as DJ Durkin will be the interim moving forward. More thoughts on that, we'd love to hear from you. Phone lines are open for the next 10 minutes. 334-321-1390. We'll talk a little basketball moving forward. Jacob Hillman's going to join us as well, and a whole lot more to get to on the Monday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
We continue on here on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Got a couple of phone calls to get to in just a moment, but do want to let you know of some programming changes. Right, tonight is the start of college basketball. We've got Auburn men's basketball over on Wings 94.3, taking on Bethune-Cookman inside of Neville Arena. Tiger Talk at 6, right into the men's basketball broadcast at 7 over on Wings 94.3. And, of course, ESPN 106.7 is the usual home for Auburn women's basketball, who gets their season started tonight against Charlotte on the road. But because of all the stuff going on, because of the drama and the importance of our sports talk shows being on a day like this, Auburn women's basketball tonight, and tonight only with Britt Bowen on the call, will be over on 96.3 W Lee. So that's going on the air at 4:15, tip off at 4:30. You can still listen on the Auburn Tigers app if you want to, but just for tonight, Auburn women's basketball over on 96.3 W Lee, back here on ESPN 106.7 come Saturday afternoon. So let's get to the phone lines again, 334-321-1390. And Susan, you're on the line. How are you on this Monday?
Hey, I'm great, guys. Hey, I'm a 1992 grad of Auburn.
Okay.
I was there during the Pat Dye, you know, era, which was the old glory days.
Sure.
Both of my kids graduated from Auburn, one in 18 and one in 22. So they didn't really get to have that family. I mean, I think we've made a mistake since we didn't hire Kirby when we have the chance, you know, we'd probably be in a different situation. Of course, Auburn basketball was not good when I was there. But anyway, I do digress. But I heard Charlie Totman with Doug on Doug's show saying that Pat Summerall is like a Pat Dye, but more refined. And I really think this university needs someone like that. Needs somebody that can, I'm not saying bring, but somebody that's hard. Because we've made some horrible hires. I still to this day don't know how Brian Harsin got hired. I just still, mind boggles me. And also with Hugh Freeze. And we are getting to be a program where I think people think this is a toxic environment. You know, again, I don't know John Cohen. I know he has a very successful coaching career at Mississippi State, which is a school that didn't have very many resources. But nowadays, these alumni bases, I mean, Vanderbilt has so much money. Texas, A&M, it's such an even playing field now. And with the transfer portal, you have to make a right hire. I don't know how y'all feel about Summerall. I just think we need to have somebody that can bring it kind of back to have the older people come back and see it. Because my kids have no idea. When they hear their my ex-husband and I talk about going to Auburn back in the day, they're like, oh, Mom, really? So anyway, I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Appreciate it, Susan. Thank you so much for listening and calling in and giving your two cents, and I appreciate that. And look, she's in the Summerall camp, clearly, and I think early on in the first 24 hours, Summerall is at least from the fan base, is a leader in the clubhouse.
I think he was very much making the walk up 18 after the Missouri loss. I feel like that was when the name really started being thrown around. Then you now have the true opening to where it's not a, if this becomes a possibility, then John Summerall is that top guy. I very much believe that he is the number one candidate right now.
Problem is,
crazy enough, they have betting lines for everything already.
Yeah.
He is second right now at plus 350. Kenny Dillingham at plus 300, according to the unnamed sports book. Crazy that you have betting lines for that, but Dillingham, Summerall at plus 350, James Franklin at plus 400, and then Brent Key at plus 750. Those are the front four.
Problem is, as we get to the phone lines again before we take our bottom of the hour break, Auburn may be interested in John Summerall, but so are a lot of other programs too. 334-321-1390. We smoked this guy out on a Monday. Uncle T-Bone, what are you doing out there? Are you celebrating with a cold snack, or are you still having to work this hour?
No, I'm still working. Guys, you know, I don't know who Auburn will ultimately hire, and I'm just going to take a seat back and watch it all unfold. But if I were doing the hiring, I'd have two questions to start the whole process, Christian. One, sir, how many rounds of golf did you play last year as a head coach? And two, what's your handicap? Because if you can break 90, don't even bother. Don't even bother.
So, T-Bone, unfortunately, you are not in that conversation.
Yeah, I mean, I scratched golf for 2 years back.
Well, did you see the reporting about how the news was unofficially broken about the tee times being revealed from Saturday night into Sunday morning?
I did see that. After the game, I took the time to listen to the post-game press conference, heard y'all asking questions, and stayed up pretty late and got into the wee hours just looking everything over. And you knew it was over. I mean, there wasn't even any question about it. But the only thing I'd have to say about it is I think if had Auburn pulled the plug after Georgia, I believe that we would have won these last three games. Because I think you're going to see a Tiger team come out this Saturday, and I'm not saying that they're going to beat Vanderbilt because that's a solid football team at home in the SEC, but they're going to play with a little bit more at the very least, creativity on the offense. And that's ultimately what sunk Hugh Freeze. His offenses were rudimentary here.
Yeah.
There was no flow. There was no concept. The game that he was trying to play was the home run ball on every single play. And the game of football has changed, guys. It's a 10-yard game. Ball control. The scores are dropping. Defense. You know, maximizing your possessions, especially in the red zone. And, you know, there were some bad breaks that occurred along these last 2.5 years, but there were several games Auburn should have won, and he just didn't get it done.
Yeah. I'm with you. Yeah, and, you know, T-Bone, you make an interesting point, and we got to get out of here. We got to get to our bottom of the hour break. It's good to hear from you, my man.
Yep, thanks for having me.
T-Bone joining us on the phone lines again. Got to get to our break and get Jacob Hillman in here. He makes a fascinating point, though. It's the biggest what-if question possible, so you can't dive into it too deep, right?
You can't even use hindsight.
But what if
Auburn
comes out and looks competent on all facets of the game this weekend against Vanderbilt?
Especially offensively, with arguably the same game plan.
I think it's very safe
to say. Or the same offense, rather.
That you could have won the Missouri game, less stress in the Arkansas game, and obviously would have won the Kentucky game. Again, that is such a big what-if that it's not even fair to contemplate that for very long. But what if?
And a big narrative this season is how players and teams have responded once their head coach has been fired. You feel like now the players now have the opportunity to play for each other. Once again, you hear all about the offense relying on the defense relying on the offense. It didn't feel like you had any of that. It felt like the defense was going out there and doing their job, and then it was frustration building because next thing you know, 45 seconds later, the defense was back on the field. Now you're going to see the true veteran leadership rise to the occasion, in my opinion, to where the defense is going to fire up the offense, and the offense is going to go out there and make plays for the defense.
We'll keep talking about this as in all things around Auburn Athletics, with basketball season getting underway, men's and women's tonight, and a new direction for Auburn football. We're behind and got to get to break. Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network joins us next.
We're halfway through hour number two. You've got 30 more minutes of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. He is Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. We're about to bring our man Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network in here, but just want to remind folks, with opening night of college basketball, we'll have Auburn men's basketball with new head coach Stephen Pearl over on Wings 94.3. Tiger Talk beginning at 6, the men's basketball game at 7. And then also a new era, a new coach for Auburn women's basketball with head coach Larry Vickers getting started with the Lady Tigers as they are on the road in Charlotte this afternoon, going on air at 4:15 with tip-off set for 4:30. Britt Bowen on the call, normally right here on ESPN 106.7, but given the situation and the circumstances, we were able to move it just for the day, putting that on 96.3 W Lee tonight, and then it's back here on ESPN 106.7. All season long, which means when we are done at 4, the drive is on the air today. Bill Cameron, Dan Peck, I believe Coach Dunn's going to be here as well. Yeah. So the drive will be on the air today. Auburn women's basketball over on 96.3 W Lee today, back here on ESPN the rest of the season. Now let's get to our man Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network. Apologies for being late, my friend, but we appreciate you, as always, joining us on the phone lines. And there is a lot to get to, I think.
No worries, Jacob. You're exactly right. It's been a busy 24 hours on Auburn's campus, as you mentioned. So much going on with basketball and same with football.
Well, let's dive into what the conversation has been all day today, all day yesterday, of course, on social media, and what will be talked about for the next several weeks is that John Cohen and Auburn University have moved on from Coach Hugh Freeze, no longer will be the head coach of Auburn football. DJ Durkin now the interim, and a search is underway. Now, just your overall feelings of how all this went down and kind of where Auburn goes from here.
Yeah. Starting with obviously moving on from Coach Freeze and just the thoughts on him as kind of Coach or AD Cohen mentioned in his statement and in his press conference today about how he helped improve this roster from a pretty difficult spot when he arrived on campus back in 2022. And that is definitely credit to him in his recruiting efforts and how things went on that front. I mean, this past recruiting cycle, Auburn dominated the state of Alabama in recruiting and especially on the defensive side of the ball. And so many of those guys have made an impact this year and will hopefully make an impact going forward in the future. But regardless, this roster is in a much better spot than it was at that time that he came in. And then just on personally, you know, here at the Auburn Sports Network, Coach Freeze treated us with nothing but respect and was always happy to do a post-game interview or come to Tiger Talk. And he was always great to interact with. So I wish him nothing but the best moving forward. And again, as you mentioned, just going forward with this football team, now is a critical time for the Tigers as they look to try and get bowl eligible. There's a couple of top ranked opponents that are on the schedule remaining, including the Iron Bowl. And that's just so much, that's just so important to try and capitalize on this last few weeks of the season, this last month of the season. And John Cohen thinks that DJ Durkin is the man to try and do that over the last three games.
Well, Jacob, we know better than to throw you to the weeds asking specific names with candidates because there's so many of them and Auburn doesn't know the direction that they are wanting to go right now. But just from the standpoint of qualities or traits, what's something that you want to see with the next head coach for Auburn football?
Yeah, it's important to echo what John Cohen said today in his press conference about a coach that has an edge to him and a coach that is able to evaluate talent. And again, we're talking about the recruiting aspect of it that Coach Freeze did well at. And now we move forward to, all right, how does that continue? And I think it does have to do with a coach that has an edge and understands what he's looking at when looking specifically at high school players. Of course, the transfer portal is as important as ever as it has been in college football. But I think where Auburn found its success in the recruiting ranks the past few years is at the high school ranks. And it'll be important to continue that here in the Southeast, in the state of Alabama. And that's the key is when you have that coach that has an edge, it helps those players, you know, really develop more quickly. And that's just something that John Cohen, as a former head coach in the SEC himself on the baseball side, he understands that. And it's going to be able to kind of identify that in his interview process.
Jacob, as we look at what the rest of the schedule has for Auburn, just three games left on the road at Vanderbilt, home versus Mercer, and then you have the Iron Bowl inside of Jordan-Hare Stadium. You mentioned bowl eligibility and things like that. Auburn still has an opportunity to do that. Funny enough, Auburn still has a chance to go 7-5, which would also give you two wins over what would currently be top 15 teams. I mean, what are expectations, or maybe it's outside of wins and losses, on what this team could look like differently on all facets of the game? What are you looking for down the stretch here as we are in November?
Well, obviously, I think on the defensive side, we know we want to see things continue the way they've been. Auburn has yet to give up 24 points in a game this year, and that's only matches what the top two teams in the country have done this year. And if you continue that and find a little bit of offense, then you're going to be able to have a chance to win some games coming down the stretch here against really good opponents. And I mean, heck, you look at the Mercer game, even like that Mercer team has a heck of an offense. If you looked at the last 2 weeks that they've had over 600 yards this past weekend, over 800 yards against BMI a couple weeks ago. And again, that's just something you have to keep at the front of your mind, that all three of these teams are talented. And obviously two of them are top 15 teams and contending for playoff eligibility, contending for SEC title, and one is the Iron Bowl. So I just want to see a little bit more consistency on offense going forward, and we'll see what Derek Nix, as Coach Durkin alluded to in his presser about how he's going to be calling the plays, and we'll see what changes are made on that front.
We're talking with Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network here on the Monday edition of On the Line. And, of course, football is dominating at the moment with the news of Hugh Freeze no longer being the head coach of Auburn football. But we were talking about this even last week, Hillman, about how basketball season just snuck right up on us. And here we are, the opener tonight for Auburn men and Auburn women. There's games already going on right now across the country for the men's and women's side of things. But let's start with the women's team, who's on the road at Charlotte tonight. Head coach Larry Vickers will get his tenure underway as the new coach of Auburn women's basketball, and I believe the first time they've opened up on the road since 2017. So what are the expectations for the women's squad with a new head coach?
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see how this team develops. Obviously, similarly to the men, it's a brand new squad that has brought in a lot of transfers, and the lone two returnees are Caitlin Duhon and Soraya Daniel. So they're going to be kind of the leaders and from that aspect. But I think Jemiah Harris is going to be an impact transfer that you're going to look to try and really spark the offense, and this team is going to be defensive focused. So that's going to be the key to watch. I've seen some of the secret scrimmages scores leak, and that tracks with some of those scores that we've seen. And again, being on the road at Charlotte, that's gonna make things a little bit tougher for them to start things off. But it's all about that growth and trying to find their rhythm before they get into SEC play, and having these matchups early on are going to provide the best of that ability. And as I said, the defensive focus is what's going to be interesting to watch and see how this team continues. Coach Vickers was on Tiger Talk with us, I think it was last week, and he described, you know, he'd like to play 10 girls in a game, and he's not sure he's going to have that ability just with the limited roster that he currently has, but he feels good about the first seven that he'll have. And so those rotations will be interesting to watch with the women, and excited to see them in action later on this afternoon, just in less than an hour.
And on the men's side of things, Tiger Talk will lead right up into it inside Neville Arena. Auburn and Bethune-Cookman. Auburn coming off of a fantastic exhibition in Atlanta, which you feel like is a story as old as time, as soon as Auburn makes their way up into Atlanta. And State Farm Arena, man, bring the Nets back with you and the Rims back to Neville Arena because of the success that they have. What do you want to see from Stephen Pearl and this squad and their ability to just try and get better and better before the gauntlet of the non-conference schedule gets underway, and, of course, the SEC as well?
Well, I'm actually in Neville Arena right now trying to help get geared up and ready for the tip-off on the Plains tonight. It really excited just to see Neville Arena packed out again, and another sold-out crowd, 71st in a row here for, obviously, dating back to Bruce Pearl all the way a few years back, and now leading into the Stephen Pearl era. So very excited just to get back inside this environment, one of the greatest college basketball environments in the country. And yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see, kind of coming off that big win over Memphis and Atlanta, how things translate in that game. Obviously, the start of each half, Auburn goes on a great run that forces Memphis to call a timeout way earlier than it would like. It's going to be, I want to see this team get off to good starts like that consistently, because that was not the case against Oklahoma State back in the middle of October in Birmingham. And while this is a Bethune-Cookman team that's not going to have the talent level that Auburn does or any of the SEC teams that the Tigers face, it's still a team that was picked to win the SWAC by the media in the preseason. And it is a talented team. And Coach Pearl talked about that. They have a few guys that have high major ability that, you know, they enter the transfer portal here after this season, they're going to have a chance to play for some really good ball clubs in their future. So I think a fast start for this team, and continuing to see the defense find its stride, because again, that was the talking point following the Oklahoma State exhibition, and that seemed to be improved against Memphis.
Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network. He's with us every Monday here during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. It's a busy night, a busy week. I know crossover season is officially here. So to the best of your ability, tell the people what they need to know, and I'll be able to fill in the gaps if you miss anything.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I think you're going to have it handled here in about 30 minutes. With Britt Bowen for Auburn women's basketball season opener at Charlotte on 96.3 W. Lee. And then we'll have it covered on the Auburn Sports Network and Wings 94.3 FM starting at 6 o'clock with Tiger Talk from Neville Arena, leading into tip-off on the Plains against Bethune-Cookman. John Cohen, DJ Durkin join us on Tiger Talk, talking about the coaching transition and looking ahead to this Vanderbilt squad that the Tigers will face in Nashville on Saturday. And then we'll dive right into our countdown to tip-off coverage leading into the Tigers season opener and the start of the Stephen Pearl era. So much going on this week. We'll have coverage on the Auburn Sports Network from Nashville for Auburn football and Vanderbilt. It's Saturday beginning at noon. That's on Wings 94.3 FM. So be sure to tune in for that as Auburn tries to make its way towards bowl eligibility and start this stretch towards the end of the season.
Hillman, we appreciate you, my friend. Get back to work. Make sure those guys stay in line and get them on the air tonight, all right?
Hey, I'm doing my best. But, hey, be sure to follow us on Twitter and X at AU Sports Network for all the broadcast details in depth.
Thanks, man. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you next Monday.
Top end, War Eagle.
Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network with us every Monday right here on ESPN 106.7. As he mentioned, again, Auburn men's basketball season opener tonight against Bethune-Cookman. We'll talk about that as we wrap up the show when we come back. But broadcast of that over on Wings 94.3 and WingsFM.com, so you can check that out. Tiger Talk at 6, basketball at 7. All right, so we'll have that on Wings over next door. Literally, they share a wall with each other. 96.3 W Lee is where Auburn women's basketball will be for tonight and tonight only. Okay, ESPN 106.7 is the home of Auburn women's basketball, but we wanted to make sure we had all of our shows on today, including The Drive, so they are going to be on and have 2 more hours of coverage talking about Auburn football and Auburn basketball as well. So all of our shows will stay on Auburn women's basketball tonight, 96.3 W Lee, and then it's back here on ESPN the rest of the season. Okay, so that's what's going on. Tons of coverage, tons of things for you to be involved with, and a very busy time as crossover season is here. We'll take our final break, come back, and wrap it all up here on the Monday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin, online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Winding down here on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Been a busy day, man. As you can imagine, I'm sure, with the news on Sunday that Auburn has moved on from head coach Hugh Freeze. DJ Durkin is now the interim. He spoke to the media today. John Cohen spoke to the media today. We've covered a lot of it, but I feel like we haven't even broke the ice here just yet. And so more coverage coming up for you here on ESPN 106.7. Our trio of shows is unlike any other, and nobody's doing it like we're doing it. Between the Max Roundtable from 11 to 2, our show On the Line from 2 to 4, and then The Drive coming up with Bill Cameron, Dan Peck, Coach Don Dunn from 4 to 6. They're going to have you for the next 2 hours talking more about Hugh Freeze being fired, Auburn moving on, and a new era yet again for Auburn football, and a coaching search is underway. So those guys are going to have you again for the next 2 hours. I know we promoted it last week, and they did as well, that they would not be on the air today. But we felt it was important to have all of our shows on the air talking about the breaking news. And so we've talked a ton about it. We've taken a bunch of phone calls, text messages as well. If you missed any of it, go back, listen to the podcast, okay? We'll have it for you on our station website at ESPNAU.com. The Drive is coming up from 4 to 6, and then we're back tomorrow. Doug will be on the air at 11 from Montgomery. We're back on the air at 2, and I have a feeling that the full coaching name list will begin tomorrow. We already had some of that today, and I love it. And I think that's quickly where Auburn is going to be going, because the one other quote that we didn't talk about just yet is that John Cohen was asked about a timeline, and he said, I want to have this thing wrapped up relatively quickly after the season concludes, because of the things that, and I forget who asked about it, but you've got the early signing period, you've got the transfer portal, you've got all that type of stuff. And he says he wants to have this thing done quickly after the Iron Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, giving yourself as much time as you possibly can to still build a team to where you feel like not only can you do your best to recruit the players to stay on your roster, but also have plenty of time to be able to implement anybody that you need to where you feel like you can be competitive in year one. And so, yeah, it'll be a lot of the coaching search conversations, the coaching carousel, top candidates. Do we agree? Do we not agree? Do you agree or do you not agree? Again, that'll all be tomorrow. And unfortunately, we have to let everybody know that despite the major lead that Jacob had a couple of weeks ago, man, it's just slowly started dwindling down. And don't look now, but the boys are tied.
Yeah, we are tied. And I think we're about in turn four, aren't we? Making turn four. And, some decisive games coming down the stretch. And my Bearcats really let me down. That was a hard pick and didn't go well.
Yeah, Jacob, 5-5 last week. I was 7-3. So we're back. We're both 63-37, 100 games in. So
that hurts. It's pretty good, though. That's not bad. What is it, 63 and what?
63-37.
I mean, that's 66%. give or take, right?
It's been 100 games. We've won 63%.
Oh, I didn't know we were 100 games in. Oh, okay. Got you. Yeah, okay. So still. All right, so 63%. That's pretty good. That's not bad. I mean, that's two Hall of Fame careers.
That is. I mean, we're batting pretty well.
I would say so. Coming up tonight, I know, again, it doesn't feel like it for whatever reason.
Can we have college basketball tonight?
College basketball is here, baby. College basketball is back. Couple of good games tonight. Florida-Arizona is tonight.
Yeah, BYU-Villanova, which could be a really, really good game.
Sneaky good game from Las Vegas tonight.
You have Duke-Texas tomorrow night, which is going to be really, really interesting to see. Cameron Boozer for the first time in the regular season and see that new Texas team as well.
Yeah, but Auburn opens up with Bethune-Cookman tonight, 7 o'clock, over on Wings 94.3. Tigers favored by 24.5. Which team do you get? Do you get the first exhibition team or do you get the second exhibition team? Guess we'll find out with a bunch of new names, new faces, including Stephen Pearl on the sidelines. We'll talk more about that tomorrow and the news of Auburn football going in a new direction. That's coming up tomorrow, 2 to 4, right here on ESPN 106.7. The Drive is coming up. Auburn women's basketball on 96.3 W. Lee with Britt Bowen at 4:15. Tip-off at 4:30. Men's basketball on Wings 94.3. Tiger Talk at 6, and the game at 7. We're back tomorrow, all right? So until then, he's Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. We'll talk to you later.